The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Okay, welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm John Ryan, and my co-host today is Aaron Hirsch.
Good morning.
Good morning and Happy New Year. This is our first show for the new year.
It is.
Which is exciting.
Happy New Year to you as well.
And Ann bought Christina a treat, but we'll talk about the treat later. It's a long show, and everybody's been out here waiting for Christina Luda show to be back. So we have an hour and a half before we get to it, but we will eventually get to it. Just a brief thing on Project Independence and the 311 number for the town of North Hempstead. Project Independence is the town's initiative to help seniors live at home. And between social services, between transportation for doctors, for shopping, I mean, the number of stuff. Actually, I'm looking at the 2014 numbers, but I mean, home, a little helping around the house. The number of visits when you can go clean the gutters, somebody needs a pitcher moved, some simple thing. That a senior just, you know, it's silly to get up on a step stool at the age of 85 and break your hip. You can call 311. I'm asking the most important number to remember when we talk here. You call 311. Somebody will come by. A social worker will call you back within 24 hours and help you out. What we have this morning, we have two special guests, but our first guest, and Ann's been talking to her already, is Dr. Valerie Trubnik, who is with OCLI, which is, Valerie?
Ophthalmic Consultants of Long Island.
And they have branches all over, but even with branches all over, it's a one-on-one, very personalized service. And I know you're here because of Ann and Ann's experience. So actually what I'm going to do is move it over to Ann.
It's a wonderful practice, and what's wonderful about it is you have top-notch people who are so serious and well-prepared to address a varied amount of issues that can come up, especially as we begin to get a little older. So with that, I now pass the ball over to you, Dr. Trubnik, because I would like to hear what your thoughts are as we age, what it's like as far as vision is concerned.
So first and foremost, I know most of my patients hate the word age. So I like to say that you've just had a few birthdays. And, you know, it's very important to come for yearly checkups. A lot of people really tend to ignore their eyes, especially if they have good vision. I have plenty of patients with 20/20 vision, but other pathology or other conditions that they may not realize. And, they just kind of go to the drugstore and get the over-the-counter glasses, but don't know what they have. And so it's very important to go for yearly checkups, just like you would with your primary doctor. So we can do a dilated exam, check your pressure, look at your optic nerve, look at your corneas, and make sure that everything is okay.
So are you inferring that by taking an eye exam, you could find something that isn't necessarily related to your vision?
100%, yeah. So we've had patients with that we diagnosed with cancer because we have found things in their eye, metastasis or other signs that was indicative of cancer. Diabetic retinopathy, so diabetes, many other things, hypertensive retinopathy. We would send the patient to the hospital and the blood pressure was 200 over 120 without them even realizing it.
Wow.
So, that's the importance of getting your eyes checked. They really are the windows to the soul.
I got a great eye story for you. I started wearing glasses in 2000 because I got my master's, my second master's I got in 2000. So I went back to school like in 1997. And I'm not paying attention. Of course, you're doing a lot more reading when you're going to school and working at the same time. I'm starting to get tremendous headaches. Mm-hmm. So I go to a doctor, a regular doctor, and he puts me on some sort of a drug that was lowering my blood pressure, even though I didn't have low blood pressure. And I was going to the gym at the time, and I'm exhausted. And then he gives me an injection to put into my thigh if the headaches got so bad. And then I go out to dinner one night with a friend of mine who is an ophthalmologist. Mm-hmm. And he says, what are you doing? He says, wait one second. And he comes back with a couple like glass cylinders. I said, do this. And he puts them on my eyes. Let me look at this print. Look at this print. He says, you need glasses. Do you believe that? Right. I then went to a doctor down here. This was upstate, my friend. I went to a doctor, got glasses, and that was the end of it. But the importance of, you know, checking things thoroughly. I mean, I don't know. I went to one of these first. I went, whatever I went to. That's not the point. The point is, you know, headaches and stuff can come, obviously.
Absolutely. It's,
you know, and at the age of 40, 45, 50, especially when you're older, 60 and 70, you know, if you haven't worn glasses, there's nothing wrong with thinking that that might be a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother read until she died without a pair of glasses. 91. Never worn.
She's the urban myth.
Yeah.
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 But there are concerns that people may be a little more prone to glaucoma, a cataract, macular degenerative. Can you talk and just sort of explain to us what some of these things are and possibly what we can do to get maybe early intervention, you know, things that we can somewhat control our own health if we're our best advocates, especially on vision. So I will ask you to maybe talk a little bit about those things.
And you're absolutely right about prevention and intervening earlier, because that's when we really could do something for the patient. So the four most common reasons for visual loss in the United States for a population over 60 to 65 would be glaucoma, macular degeneration. Actually, macular degeneration would be first, diabetic retinopathy, and cataracts. Now, cataracts are really the only ones that are reversible. You know, they're sort of speak, quote unquote, curable. But you still don't want to wait too long, because if you wait till the age of 99, where you have a black, dense cataract, it's much more difficult to take it out, and you can have much more complications. So it's important to get ahead of this early. Do cataract surgery. I always say earlier. The earlier, the better if you do have a visually significant cataract.
I'm going to interrupt you.
Sure.
What is a cataract, and how do you know you
have
a cataract?
Yes. So a cataract, so we all have a lens in our eye, just like a lens in the camera that focuses light to the back of the eye or the back of the camera. And that lens over time becomes cloudy. And so that's what we call a cataract.
Okay.
So, and everyone's going to get cataracts. A lot of my patients get upset when I tell them that they have cataracts, and I say it's like getting gray hair. You really can't avoid it.
Oh, okay.
We're all going to get it. So, and it just depends. I certainly have patients in their 80s and 90s that have cataracts but are not bothered by them, see very well, and have no visual complaints. But most patients, when they get cataracts and they do progress over time, have difficulty driving. They get glare. They get halos when they're driving. They have difficulty reading. Colors are not as bright and saturated as they used to be. So they'll say, you know, I asked my daughter and I said, why, this couch used to be blue and now it's I don't know, light blue. Now it's something else.
Okay.
It's so, you know, those things are usually symptoms of cataracts. The other thing is if you have constant prescription changes, and so you keep going to your optometrist, you keep switching your glasses, and you say, wait a second, I'm at an age where I'm not supposed to.
Oh, lens prescription. I'm sorry.
Correct.
I'm
yes, lens prescription.
I'm thinking regular doctors.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm at an age where I'm supposed to be stable, but the reason you're changing is because the lens in your eye is changing. You're developing a cataract, and so your prescription is changing. So instead of switching the glasses every 6 months, you really just need to have cataract surgery.
And then your prescription will be maintained because
correct.
I get you. Okay.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about the surgery. Is it a painful surgery? Is it a dangerous surgery? What do we need to know about cataract surgery?
So cataract surgery is actually one of the safest surgeries that we do and one of the most common surgeries that we do in the United States. I mean, it can take anywhere from 5 minutes to 20 minutes on average, you know, so it's a fairly quick procedure. It's an outpatient procedure. You go home the same day. You don't have to stay in the hospital like they did back in the day. Some patients don't even get a patch or shield. You get mild sedation, obviously depends on where you get it done, but usually get a little bit of mild sedation, almost like a colonoscopy. So you kind of a little bit of sleep, you can hear what's going on, you have no pain, you have no discomfort. So it's safe and it's quick and it's efficient.
You're awake?
You can be. It depends on the patient. Some of my patients are awake and they want to be awake and they ask me
really?
Questions about what I'm doing. Well, what are you doing now? Can I see the lens? So, yeah.
Okay. Is it uncomfortable because your eye is open? Is that correct?
It is correct. And there are different ways of doing cataract surgery. Some people do something called a peribulbar block. So it's a little injection that we we do next to the eye to numb your eye up completely and to block any light going into the eye. So you don't see anything, you don't feel anything. And then there are ways of doing it what we call topically, where we inject a little bit of lidocaine in the eye and we numb you up internally. And that way you don't feel anything.
Now, many, many years ago, my mom had cataract surgery with Dr. Broderick. Mm-hmm. And it was done at...
He's an excellent surgeon.
Yes, he is. Well, you had to put that in as well. It was done right here on Port Washington Boulevard, St. Francis.
St. Francis Hospital, okay. Sure.
But then when we went for another surgery, because both of her eyes were affected, first she did one. Do you have a center someplace or a clinic?
Sure, yes. We have a surgery center, Island Eye Surgery Center on Glen Cove Road in Carl Place.
Is that near Roosevelt Field?
Correct, yes. And we're actually building a brand new one, brand new beautiful facility with more operating rooms, all the brand new equipment. So that's going to be actually a mile or two down the road from there. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
How important, by the way, is it to wear sunglasses, especially after surgeries like that?
Very, very important in general. I tell all my patients, a lot of people do tend to ignore that because not only does it protect the inside of the eye, it also protects your lids. So very commonly, actually, we see patients with basal cell or squamous cell carcinoma or skin cancer on the lids, okay, because you're not protecting yourself against UV light. And you can also, unfortunately, get cancer inside the eye, like melanoma. So I'm sure you guys have heard of the famous neurologist Oliver Sacks that had written all those articles in New York Times. But he recently passed away from a choroidal melanoma in the eye. But most importantly, the most common thing is UV light can cause progression of cataracts.
It's only recently I heard that. I don't wear sunglasses. I hate them. It throws me off. I mean, it's, you know, and somebody says you should wear them all the time, whether you have bad eyes or not, you should wear sunglasses.
Right.
So now, is this only for sunbathers or this for people that are...
For everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Can cataracts then come back? Is that something like...
They don't come back.
Oh, they
so
don't
that's
come
a
back.
Very
oh,
common
okay.
question.
Okay.
It's kind of a one-time deal. The only thing that can come back is a little membrane called a posterior capsular opacity. We call it a secondary membrane. Back in the day, they used to call it a secondary cataract. But what happens is that when we're doing cataract surgery, you can't get out all the microscopic cells from the lens. And so behind the lens, you form a little membrane. And that can happen months or years down the line. And that's a simple procedure to get rid of it. It's a in-office procedure. It takes less than a couple of minutes. It's not painful, and it's a one-time deal. So if your vision becomes blurry again, it's because of the membrane, and you just need to have it lasered.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, okay. Now, is this the same or different than something called floaters?
Floaters. So floaters are, they're different parts of the eye. So behind the lens and in front of the retina. Retina is the photosensitive tissue or kind of where we have the photosensitive tissue in the eye. There is jelly called vitreous. And that jelly can separate into little islands and float around. And that's what we call floaters. So some people describe them as a piece of hair or as little jelly floating around. So people have different descriptions for it, or black spots or little flies. So that's what floaters are. Now, sometimes if you have a new onset of floaters, all of a sudden you've never had anything before, you get a shower of these floaters, tons of them, flashes of light. That's something that's very important to be aware of because that could be a sign of a retinal hole or tear or detachment. And the quicker you intervene, the quicker you go to the ophthalmologist, then we can do something for you. We can do a laser in the office. We can take you to the operating room because if you wait too long, you may not get your vision back if you have a retinal detachment.
John, have you ever experienced anything like that?
No.
I had it once.
Where really?
I thought it was the 4th of July. I was sitting and watching some television, and all of a sudden, all these, like, silver lights started coming, and it was like, what in the world is going on here? But I was fortunate in that I was able to get in the next day to see Dr. Broderick, and he looked it over, and he said, calm down. Things are okay.
You're okay. Yeah.
So, but... You have to be very, very
That's spooky
aware.
That when it happens, I'm
yes,
sure.
Yes.
Not understanding what it is.
Absolutely.
When I was in residency, I had a patient on, I was on call on Thanksgiving, and he came in and he said to me, "Doctor, there's an amoeba in my eye and you need to get it out." And I looked at him. I said, "Sir, this is just a floater. This is not an amoeba, I can assure you." He would not leave. I spent Thanksgiving with him because he was, you know, he really thought that there was an amoeba and I needed to surgically remove it.
That's a whole nother show. Right now, we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We're right back.